Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Stamps.com. Right now, you too can enjoy Stamps.com service with a special offer. Includes a four-week trial plus postage and a digital scale without long-term commitments. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in ghost. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, construction work at a funeral home makes a man think twice about ever setting foot through those doors again. A student returns home from school, finds something much darker taking place at his home than a televised after-school special. Also, a dark and menacing entity emerges from the woods to terrify a young woman on a late-night drive. And something dark follows a girl and takes over her body when the sun goes down. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yeah, that is indeed what it is. Your stories, we're always looking for them. You can call them in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 855-853-4802. You can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Or if you have an audio file, you want to record it right there on your device in the record mode, then send me the MP3, M4A, whatever it is, send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Be sure to check out the website, ghostpodcast.com, for all the bonus EPP episodes, and check out our new format of EPP episodes. There's some concern. It's like, are you changing the format of the show entirely? No, just EPPs are a little bit more unique now, more storytelling-driven. The regular show, Monday through Wednesday, staying exactly how it is. That's not going to change. But do check out the new feel of the EPPs. Really some fun stuff out there at ghostpodcast.com. Live dates also on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you once again, and it's our first time recording since I know this is airing into December, but first time recording since the Thanksgiving holiday. And and how was your day of birdless enjoyment?
Well, I didn't eat any turkey.
Nope, you didn't change anything just for the day, just like today we're gonna have a little bird.
No,
that's
but
fine.
The hard thing was changing was getting my mom to actually go someplace that would have a decent buffet.
Okay.
And because my mom would be perfectly happy at Golden Corral.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, no, we want to go this other place.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had nicer foods and more choices for people like me. And mom's like, well, I just think that's too much money. I'm like, okay, remember last year when we had Thanksgiving dinner at IHOP and I had the waffles? I'm not doing that this year. So we paid for her buffet.
There you go. And was it?
As long as she didn't have to pay for it, she's fine.
Was it amazing and delicious?
It was okay.
Yeah.
It was okay. But we did go see the movie The Green Book afterwards. I loved it.
I don't even know what that's about.
I loved it. It was like in the 1960s, okay, about a black musician in the South, and this white guy drives him around, and it was amazing.
Oh, loved it. Sounds interesting.
Yeah, it was really good.
Well, good.
Based on a true story, by the way.
Oh, I had no idea. I like some of those period films like that from that time period.
I'll think you'd like it.
To look into that one. We just did our regular stuff here, did the stuffing, turkey, and the whole nine yards. And, you know, my favorite is stuffing. I like that the best, or the dressing, whatever you want to call it. My turkeys turn out good, but I'm underwhelmed by the turkey meat. I know a lot of people are like, oh, the turkey, it's just great. I'm just like, it's turkey. I mean, I don't know. I know it's tasty, but it's the least exciting food, I think, on the Thanksgiving lineup.
I have always been a fan of the stuffing.
Yeah.
Way more than the turkey.
So much more flavor. So many ways to do that. And I mean,
that you can make in a vegetarian fashion.
You can, and make it quite darn tasty, mm-hmm, too.
Yeah.
So anyway, enough about food. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your ghost stories with us. We would love to hear them. And of course, as we're getting closer and closer to the holidays, encouraging you, if you got any holiday-esque ghost stories, we'd love to hear those. It's always fun to get some of that stuff in right before Christmas here. First, the letter says, my name is Sam. My dad, Arnold, and I worked with my uncle, Ted, and his two sons, Johnny and Glenn. We specialize in carpeting and painting. A funeral home locally, Hendrickson's, asked us to help work for them, put in a new rug and some fresh paint. My dad and Uncle Ted were very happy to get the job. They offered a significant amount of money for our work. 2 weeks go by. We finally arrived with all the stuff we needed for the job. Carpet, paint, tiles, other stuff. We asked the owners to leave us a key to stay over for the next couple of days or however long it would take to get the job done. So they kindly gave us the keys, a whole set of them actually, and we stayed overnight. The whole time I was thinking, I don't want to stay. I hate this place. Gives me the creeps. When first walked in, I got the creeps. So we start getting to work. But 9 a.m. stopped around 11 p.m. This is where all hell broke loose. Me and my dad and my uncle and two cousins were all tired. We figured that we should get a bit of rest. So we went to the front room of the funeral home and sat and reclined and laid down on the couches and floors. We're all dozing off that night for a few hours, and we woke up. I see a person run up the stairs next to the hall. However, they must have been about 6'3". They're really tall. I thought it was my Uncle Ted at first, because he's about 6'2". So the height matched just what I saw. I start yelling, Uncle Ted, where are you going? I get no answer back. Said I turned my head to my right to find my uncle sleeping on the floor next to me. Like, oh, what the hell was that? My family is in here and they are all with me, and the owners had left the place to us for working. I know there's somebody in here other than us and maybe a few stiffs. So I reach for my cigarettes and get ready to go outside and have a smoke when suddenly I hear footsteps and banging upstairs. Sound like people throwing themselves into the floor and running. I dropped the cigarette out of my mouth. I was so freaked out. Didn't even want to get up. I didn't want to get up to move anymore because I felt like whatever it was watching me. But 5 minutes later, after the noise was quieted down, I turned my head to look at the staircase and see somebody with what looked like a white sheet wrapped around their body, but it's falling halfway off them, like as if they were almost naked, like a bad piece of clothing. Right after that, I heard people moaning and groaning from the basement downstairs. I didn't like the noises, not one bit, so I put my head back down for a few moments to get some shut-eye, and that's when it happened. I actually saw people running up and down the halls in front of the room next to the staircase. The halls are pretty huge, and this was an old Victorian place after all. That's when I said, all right, that's it. There's no way I'm sleeping here tonight or ever. I'm getting the hell out of here. So I left, went back home to sleep, and came back. The morning we got to work, the work got done 3 days later, and that was it. I've never worked at a funeral home again. Well, that sounds like one of the most horrific experiences in a funeral home anyone has ever shared on our program.
Well, did he? He didn't say anything about like the uncle or anybody also seeing anything. I wonder if he asked them about that.
I wonder.
I would assume he did.
You would assume, but you also have to wonder. You know, maybe he knows how they would take it, and you know, it's a bunch of guys on a work site, and they work together. And if he already knows that they're not too hip to the idea of ghosts, and suddenly he's like, oh my god, all this shit happened, he's going to be looked at like he's crazy. So maybe there was some judgment there, but I really would be curious to know if anybody else had anything happen, and maybe they're all thinking that way and they've all had these horrific experiences but nobody shared with each other in fear of being judged.
Do you think that funeral homes would tend to be haunted more than like, because he said it was a Victorian type of structure?
Yeah,
like maybe it was already haunted because the people are already dead. Like,
yeah,
you know, wouldn't really think necessarily they would haunt a funeral home, but my sister lived in that haunted funeral home.
Yeah, and you know, I think that they are, and not because people are dead that are going through them, it's because of all the emotions that are expelled by the living in these confined spaces. Same with cemeteries as well. Most people don't die in cemeteries, and it's not places that a lot of us spend a lot of our life, unless you're like, you know, you or me, who like to go visit them for fun.
No, that would be you. Yeah. Don't include me on that.
Well, you like historical
like
things.
We're not.
You'll go see, if there's like a historic someplace that you're visiting.
Okay, like if Benjamin Franklin's there,
yes.
I will go.
Yes. Me, I just like wandering around for the ambiance. But other than that, it's not a common place. But again, it's a place much like the funeral home, and usually same day as the funeral home. There's a lot of concentrated energy there of sadness and emotions and people constantly visiting their loved ones. And I think that's where it becomes kind of like a battery or a magnet for other things to be there. Not necessarily the people who are dead.
Sense.
Just stuff. It's just like it attracts it no matter what, good and bad. So that would be my outlook on it. Had a really interesting funeral home story on the Grave Talks a few weeks ago. It's called The House of Wills. I think it's in Ohio. I forgot. Anyway, this is a place where the architecture in it is crazy. It almost looks like, because it was used somewhat as a nightclub at one point, but also a funeral home. And it was just like this Art Deco Roman Victorian throw up of a building. I mean, just it was like a themed restaurant out of the 1960s is how it looks on the inside, but done really interestingly well. And it's been out of business for several years. And actually the people who had been running it, I don't know if they still do run it, Satanists. And it's well known. I mean, and they apparently a lot of stuff goes on there, like rituals and things of that nature. So you got that mixed into all of the, you know, the emotions that are already in that building from being a funeral home for so many years. And there was questions, I guess there was issues with the funeral home towards the end as far as how it was being run and ethical practices and a lot of stuff. But anyway, it's just a big ball of wrong as far as the funeral home goes. And the investigator I talked to was like, I will never go back there again. It was such a intense experience and such a bizarre, weird, dark energy feeling place. But that's a really interesting one. If you're into funeral home stories, that takes the cake for me. It was what intrigued me about it was the architecture of the building more than anything. I was like, this is a funeral home? Because it's so bizarre on the inside.
And it was a nightclub, and it was owned by Satanists?
It was not all at the same time.
That's like a whole list of things.
It's like it's sequential order here on a lot of things, but Satanists towards the end or towards the more current day. But it had been so many different things, and the architecture saved with it as it went from one thing to the next. It's just the most bizarre, one of the most bizarre buildings I've ever seen pictures of. And it's even creepier now because it's kind of in this abandoned-esque state with a little bit of restoration going on. But when they were allowing people to go in there and ghost hunt, just some amazing pictures. Even if you don't care about seeing ghosts, just the architecture of a rotting building like that was really amazing. But anywho, 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, Christmas, holidays, all that stuff almost here. And if you're like a lot of folks, you're going to be doing a little bit of mailing this holiday season to friends, families all over the place. You want to do it for cheap. You want to do it and save some money and do it without having to deal with lines at the post office. Well, stamps.com. They are your one-stop holiday shop for doing all of that stuff. They bring all the services of the U.S. Post Office right to your desktop. You buy and print official U.S. postage, any letter, any package, any class of mail, using your own computer and a printer. Then, mail carrier picks it up, and you're done. No trips to the post office required. Could not be easier. Print postage any day, anytime. Stamps.com. It's always open. You can do it at 3 a.m. if you feel. Stamps.com not only saves you time, saves you money, helps you print the right amount of postage every time so you're not guessing and overpaying. Stamps.com. You get discounts as well on postage you can't even get at the post office, so you save even more using it. All the time and money you save, Stamps.com is the best gift you can give yourself this holiday season. We use Stamps.com here for all sorts of stuff, sending out the spirit flasks, bunk bed bells, all that. Right now, you can enjoy Stamps.com service with a special offer. Includes a four-week trial, plus postage and a digital scale without long-term commitments. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage. Type in GHOST, G-H-O-S-T, Stamps.com. Type in GHOST. 855-853-4802, our number. Let's go to a letter. I have three stories and something I like an opinion on, but let's talk about the first two stories initially here first. I've had a few experiences in my life, two when I was younger and two recently. When I was in junior high, my mom would sometimes not be home when I returned from school, so I'd be alone in the house. I was watching TV when it shut off suddenly, and then it turned back on. This happened twice more. My mom taught me to speak to them, or whatever it was, as if they were bothering me. I said, okay, very funny, please stop, so I can watch TV. And as I'm about to turn the TV back on, I hear the distinct noise of the lock turning on the door. It's my bathroom door, which is down the hall to my left. I freaked out, got up to leave to go to a friend's house. I was hungry, so I stopped at the fridge. I reached down to open the crisper to grab an apple, and something hit it hard. I ran to the door and yelled, "This is my house, and I want you gone by the time I get back." Nothing happened to me in that house again. In high school, my grandpa died, and my mom wanted to buy the house, so we moved in. My parents' room was spare, my brother's room was my grandma's, and my room was my grandpa's. Both my grandparents died in that house. There was a running joke that their closet was a portal because every time it would be opened through my mom's time living there, something would happen ghost-related. Anyway, my grandpa did not like us kids being in his room. Everything started okay, but soon I had trouble sleeping. Occasionally, I'd feel pressure like someone sitting at the end of my bed. My eyes would play tricks on me. Or were they? And I'd think there was something else in the room. One day I was at school at lunch, and I suddenly remembered what I had done the night before. I woke up in the middle of the night. I went to the kitchen and stood in the middle of it and stared out the window for a long time. I went to the living room and sat there on the edge of the couch. And as I stared out there for about an hour, I remember watching the time pass. I then went to my grandma's room and stood at the doorway and watched my brother sleep for a while, then went back to bed. I told my mom about that when I got home, and she said my grandpa would have trouble sleeping and would do those exact same things. I refused to sleep there again and ended up switching rooms with my brother. There are 8 years between us, so he was young at the time. He's been creeped out a couple of times, seemingly for no reason. He started refusing to sleep there except for on school nights. He's in high school now, almost the age I was when we moved there. Fingers crossed nothing happens to him. So, there you go. Haunted house story and someone almost emulating the same things that a loved one did without really realizing it, kind of in that weird, almost sleep state.
Do you see... There's a part of me that if that happened, and because I was really close to my grandmother, and if I was to do something like that, and that's what my grandma always did, mm-hmm. something about that I would kind of like.
Sure.
I don't know that it would freak me out. I would hope anyway. I mean, because that's never happened to me, that it would be kind of a comforting feeling.
I would think so. I would hope so. It sounds like there's almost a mix of things, though. Where kind of there's
unless your grandparents were evil, and that could be
that happens sometimes in families.
They could be Satanists.
They could be, and they could be operating out of an old funeral home, and you're just like,
exactly.
why are we going to the funeral home?
Where you are now living,
exactly.
But I mean, it just seems like it might be kind of a if I had done that. And somebody said, you know, your grandmother did that all the time. I would be like, oh, my gosh, that was like some kind of connection I must have had with my grandmother.
Sure. On that part, I completely agree. On the there's a dark figure standing at the end of my bed all the time. It feels like it might be grandpa and he really doesn't want me in here. That would be kind of awkward. It's like, why, grandpa? You're dead. Why can't I stay in this room? Like, what's the big deal?
Yeah, Grandpa, you're a dead murderer.
And then you find out all these horrible things. And
right.
Then we go into the attic.
Evil granddad.
That would be, yeah.
Because when you think of grandparents, you think of loving grandparents. And obviously, we don't all have loving grandparents.
Exactly. Yeah, you always have that kind of that picture perfect thing, and doesn't always turn out that way. I have
yeah,
one that
my
was...
my grandma was perfect.
Yeah. I had some that were, and I had some that, one that wasn't. And it was just kind of like, okay, when that one died, I was like, and?
See, I think my dad had really bad parents. I didn't know them. But I think his mom in particular, like, I wouldn't want to do the stuff that he said she did.
Sure.
But, you know, I do think, like, I don't know. It. Hopefully she didn't find it too freaky, but she must have if she didn't want to sleep in that room anymore.
Yeah, there was definitely something, even if it was good, that can still be uncomfortable when you're trying to sleep. It's not always, you know, warm and fuzzy, even though they don't mean any harm. Maybe he's just doing the same thing. Maybe he's just sitting there watching like he did in life. But that's still kind of unsettling when it is a dead person.
You know, but it'd be really cool if Ghost Grandma came back and like baked some pies or something.
That'd be great. Get up in the morning, everything's ready to go.
Like, oh my gosh, Grandma's been baking. Like if that's how, I just think it'd be awesome if ghosts could do some more functional duties around the house.
Well, I think Amazon's working on that. I think that's going to be a new feature of Alexa coming up, in the where you can summon your dead relatives through Alexa. And Alexa over here is lighting up, and it'll be this new way of communicating. It'll be great. Like the Ouija board will be a new skill on it. 855-853-4802 is our number. Next letter says, hello, Tony and Carol. You two make my workday amazing. Listening to the episode, The Takeover, reminded me of another experience I had. When I was in high school, I had a friend come over. She was staying the night. Another friend called around midnight and said she'd gotten kicked out of her house. Her father wouldn't let her back in. He'd locked her out without her keys, but luckily she had her phone and she called me. I asked my parents if I could get her, and they said I could. So I hopped into my car, drove to her house. The drive to her house was through a scenic route that I'd always felt a little off about. It's beautiful, a reserve that's completely natural. Trees, plants, they all line the road, so dense you can't see through them. They also arch above the road, as I said, and it is beautiful. Even though I love Mother Nature, something about it always seemed weird. As myself and my friend are driving down the road, there are two cars in front of me. Suddenly, they slam on their brakes directly before this one section of limbs. Something tells me to look up, and when I do, I see a figure there. I suppose you could say it's a shadow person, but it had intelligence. It was creepy. It felt more like a creature than a shadow person. And no, Tony, there was no top hat. He had long, waist-length, jet black hair, something reminiscent to a suit, but with relaxed pants, and his feet were bare. The reason why I said he had intelligence, though, as he stared directly at me and smiled, I saw his teeth, and they were unusually long. The cars ahead of me and my friend all saw him, too. And after the initial shock of braking, we all took off. We went a little further down the road over the train tracks, where waiting at the light. As I slowed down to come to a complete stop, my car went up on my friend's side and backed down as if I ran over something. I looked in the rearview mirror, the side mirror, and as much as I could around the car without getting out. There was nothing there, and I felt that nothing was there. I couldn't feel any presence. There was no sound, no movement, nothing. Felt like it was the creature toying with us. Now I'm a medium, and a friend of mine is also a spiritual person, and I tend to attract those people to me. We both looked at one another, and for some reason, all I could say was, I can't get in the car. We rolled up the windows, closed the sunroof, and took off yet again. I've never seen the creature again. Of course, I don't go out that late at night, but the road still seems as creepy as ever, and I do think he's there. Thanks for reading this. I know you all have a lot of great stories, so I appreciate the time and thank you for all that you do. I have tons of other stories, but I try to space them out. Let's not overwhelm you guys. Thanks again. With love, Melissa. Nothing like a nice, long drive in the country at night.
You know, I get spooked late at night, yeah. Like out in the Midwest, because there's nothing around for a long ways sometimes.
Sure.
And I've been on there. I've never seen anything, but I've been on those roads before where you just feel something bad could happen at any moment.
Mm-hmm. Is it really something, or is it just the lack of people there? You know that there's nobody there. And if you had a flat tire or something, you know, you're kind of screwed, and unless, you know, you have cell service or somebody happens to come by.
I think it's just kind of a combination of that, like, mm-hmm. because there, you know, there's no one out there and anything can happen.
Sure.
No one can hear you scream.
Yeah.
You know,
I think there's certainly the psychological aspect of it, but there are weird places out there too.
And if I'd ever seen what she saw, like, I would never go driving out of town at night ever again.
I had a caller on the live episode a couple weeks ago, and he was sharing with me about the stretch of road that he was driving home on, and he knew exactly where he had been, what he had passed, and he kept going, and it was like, why am I not getting home yet? And it was dark, so you get kind of, you know, flustered sometimes as to where you're at. And all of a sudden, he comes back on the same thing, the same building that he had passed, and he knew he passed it not that long ago. It was almost as if he went like back in time almost, or in space. And then there it was again. And then he got home and the time was kind of off, but everyone seemed normal. But for some reason, he was going in the straight path, but somehow repeated it. And I had, I can't say the exact same thing happened, but I do have that. I talk about that one stretch of road out by where I grew up, where I would just go wandering. When I was 16, I had my driver's license, and I just wanted to wander. And I would go out there in the dark with my Pontiac Sunbird that was questionable at best as far as if the headlights were going to be working or if it was going to run, and just out in the somewhat like this, just beautiful area, these fields, these rolling hills in Wisconsin through forests and everything. And I was just got the weirdest feelings in some of those places. And I did have somewhat of a similar experience of going through this little burg of a town where it's just basically a corner stop sign. It's Wisconsin, so there's, of course, about four bars in this town of maybe like 20 people. And somehow they all stay busy. But I knew exactly where I was, and my goal was simply just to keep going out to the east. And it's a lot of straight roads from what you can tell. And my goal tonight was just to go as far as I could, about 20, 25 miles. If I kept going, I would get close to Lake Michigan. And my goal was to try and get out towards that area. So I'm thinking I'm going straight, going straight, going straight. I go through that burg and I keep going straight. And I probably got turned around, so I'm not saying it was paranormal, but I did have that happen where suddenly I'm back around and it's like, wait a second, I'm back at that town. I don't remember like taking a full circle turn or anything. Sometimes you got to do like a right and then back to a left to keep going the direction you're going. But somehow I got so turned around that I was back at this place in a half hour later. It was just weird. And I don't know. It was I loved wandering around that area. But stuff like that happens.
That's that kind of line between paranormal, mm-hmm. or were you abducted by aliens?
That's the other theory. Yeah, or do you just have a horrible sense of direction? I mean, that could be it, too.
Okay, there's that. Yeah. But you could have been abducted by aliens.
There is that possibility. We did a mirror maze, me and Harper did yesterday in town here. And they keep these mirrors just sparkly clean. Like you have to wear gloves going into it because they don't want you smudging up the mirrors. And it was like, it was hell. It was just hell because it's all triangles. And so everything just reflects infinitely. And you have to find the farmer or whatever. And we finally figure out where we get to the pop-up farmer guy. And then it's like, okay, now turn around and go back out the same way you came. And it was just, and I'm just holding Harper's hand as we're going through it, because if I lose her, she's going to look like she's right next to me, but she could be at the complete other part of this maze.
That's kind of my idea. No.
Oh, it was.
Like, so once you, how long did it take?
I'd say probably about a half hour. And it was just hellish.
To go 10 feet.
Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, it physically wasn't in that big of a building, but they got it set up so much so that it was just horrible. I mean, it was
especially with your daughter. It's like, we're never getting out of here.
She was thrilled. She loved every moment of it. And then we had some fun because there's a little viewing room while you wait. And the viewing room is two-sided mirrors. So you can see some of the people going through the maze when they're going right by you, but they can't see you.
Oh, now that's fun.
So what we did was, because the glasses, it's a little loose in its fittings into the wall. So these people are, you know, you can tell they're just confused. And it looked like a boy and a girl on a date. They're probably about 16 or 17. So me and Harper started banging on the mirrors out of nowhere. And you should have seen them jump. It was great. And Harper just is like, this is awesome. I love screwing with people. So
well, and your kid would. She would really like that.
It was great fun.
She takes after her father.
Yes, she does. And I'm so proud. Another story, 855-853-4802. Our number at Real Ghost Stories Online says, hey guys, love the show. New listener here from Kansas City. I love hearing all the creepy stories you and your fans must share. The story is an experience that has haunted me for 7 years now. When I was in high school, I had a girlfriend who had a lot of interaction with the paranormal from a very young age. There are many stories about her, but this is by far the scariest. It took about a year for her to open up to me about it, and only did because of an incredibly frightening incident. I spent the night with her at her house in Leavenworth, Kansas, for the first time our senior year. During the night, I woke up to the sound of her radio putting out white noise or static. I looked over for her, and she's not there. I called for her with no reply. Her room had a bathroom in it, and the door was cracked open. I got up somewhat freaked out, but not wanting to look like a wimp in front of my girlfriend, I went to the bathroom. I tried to turn the light on before going in, but the switch would not work. So with my phone light, I walked into the room to see if she was in there. I found her sitting in the shower with her arms wrapped around her knees. She was mumbling something I couldn't make out and rocking back and forth. I tried to shake her to wake her up and said her name, but she was not responding, just sitting and rocking. And I'm really scared at this point. So I tried one more time to shake her awake, and as I touched her, she growled or grunted in a shallow voice and said, "Get away. Leave us alone." That was the last straw. I got my clothes and left so freaked out, I was shaking the whole way home. The next morning, she called and asked where I was and why I left. And I explained to her what happened, and she had no memory of it at all. She later went on to tell me things like that had happened before and told me her history. Apparently, this entity had been following her for 2 years. She said she would see a shadow following her at night pretty much anywhere she went. Whenever I asked her about it, she'd get angry and act like it wasn't my business. Over the next months, I couldn't shake the feeling of being watched any time I was with her. There were several other incidents with her radio or lights in the room. She woke up with 4 big claw marks down the middle of her back. Scary stuff. We split after a few months. Seemed like once I was exposed to it any time I was with her at night, whatever dark entity was following her would make himself known. That night I will never forget, as clear as if it happened yesterday. Thanks for reading. I hope to hear the story on the show, and I would love to hear your opinion of what I encountered. I'm not an EPP yet, so if you're so kind to put on the regular show, I'd be grateful. Thanks again. Love listening, a fellow Kansan. So yeah, I don't blame you for getting your stuff and getting the hell out of there when you kind of have a borderline exorcist situation going on.
Well, there's two things that freak me out, and that's being abducted by aliens. I don't want that. But the other thing would be that, like a demonic possession.
Of you and being possessed, or you coming across someone who's possessed?
Me being possessed.
Okay.
And so to be the other person, like, I'd have done the same thing.
Sure.
Like, part of you wants to be like, "I'd love to help you, but," like, how could, there's nothing you could do.
No.
What would you do?
Get a crucifix, holy water, and make a bath? I don't know. I mean, at that point, with something that extreme going on, I don't think anyone has an answer to it. And it's kind of a scary thing where it's like, oh, yeah, that happens to me sometimes. It's like, I don't know how I would react to that. Like, oh, okay. Well, what should I do next time, I guess, would be my question. But I don't think there's much you
can
do.
Exactly. And let's Google this. I mean, what do you do?
What to do? Let's actually Google that, Carol. What to do when your girlfriend
is possessed by a demon?
Is possessed in the bathtub. Let's see. Showing results for what to do when your girlfriend is possessed in the bathtub. Stages of demonic possession. There we go.
Yeah, but that's not helpful. Great. We've established that.
Mm-hmm. I think my girlfriend is possessed. That's a Reddit thing where people share their stories of their girlfriends that they
think. Well, I guess it's good to know you're not alone.
Bath salts do not turn people into flesh-eating zombies is the next one.
Yeah, but I question that one because bath salts are bad.
It looks like there's some resources out there. I wonder what's
so you just go, okay, look, Barb, we're I call her Barb, I don't know what her name is. Look, Barb, I'm gonna bring this up on Google, and here's my ideas for you, and I wish you all the best. I really do, but we can't date anymore.
Hey, Alexa, what do you do when your girlfriend is possessed and in a bathtub? She says, sorry, I'm not sure. So,
well, of course she's not.
Not a great resource over there. But there you go.
But that would be terrifying. That would be really terrifying.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are, as we've talked about this before, there are mental illnesses that really do present.
Yeah.
freaky creepy.
Sure.
And so I kind of, you know, so maybe it could be mental illness, especially if she's like, oh, yeah, that happened.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that you'd obviously you'd want to rule that out first. But the thing is, when you get like the scratches and stuff on you in the middle of the night, unless you're doing it yourself, you know, those are the things where it becomes much more unexplainable. And how is this happening?
And I would feel kind of bad leaving her alone like that. Like, well, you're going to have to deal with this, Barb. But I just couldn't. I couldn't.
I couldn't either.
It's so above my pay grade.
I don't think, I mean, it's just something that you're not, no one, you know, unless you're an exorcist or a priest is really equipped to deal with. And even then, half the time, you're not going to find a priest that even wants to touch it either. So I think it very easily, you know, it's easy to have the choice there, or it's acceptable for the significant other to make the choice of, I think this is just not good, not a good, healthy relationship.
Yeah, because I do think that's a deal breaker.
Yeah.
Like for me, it's smoking and demonic possession.
just those two things? So they have to be in combination?
Unemployment. That's a deal breaker for me.
Unemployment.
That's another one.
Have you ever put that like on a dating profile online where it's like, not good with smoking or demonic possession? Those are the two. So as long as you're not under the spell
and
of either.
And you have to have a job.
And a job.
It's hard for people who are possessed.
You're a tough woman to please, Carol Hughes. Tough woman to please.
My standards are so high.
855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. That's going to wrap up the program for today. Check out live dates coming up in 2019. Tickets available for at least one of them. You can check it out at Real Ghost Stories Online. Just click on the live shows area or tour or whatever it says. I don't remember what it labeled, but it's up there in the main bar. And of course, if you like the program, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Enjoy those exclusive EPP bonus episodes. You're going to love them. It's such a neat way of telling these stories. You get that at ghostpodcast.com. Brand new one every single week. There's now more than 225-ish of them. Ghostpodcast.com. Check it out. Good idea, too, for the holidays. Give the gift to ghosts. Give an EPP membership to someone you care about or someone that may be possessed. 855 or at ghostpodcast.com. Sign up there. Give them the password. Give them the username that you sign up with in a card. And there you go. It'd be a great holiday gift at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Carol Hughes and Tony Brewski, thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.